Na Radio Wave konečně nadešel čas rozhovoru s Jimmym Lavalem, což je tedy hlavní postava skupiny Album Leaf, která dnes vystoupí v pražském klubu Matrix. Hello, pleased to meet you.
Hello.
A ve studiu s námi je také Tomáš Turek, který se postará o překlad dnešního rozhovoru. Ahoj, Tomáši.
Ahoj.
První otázka hned bude směřovat k turné, protože vy máte za sebou už 9 severoamerických koncertů, 9 evropských a ještě více než 40 koncertů vás čeká. Jak pro boha tady tu nálož zvládáte, protože mi tak nějak vychází, že musíte hrát téměř každý den.
You're playing every day. You have 40 shows before in front of you. About 18 and how do you survive all this?
It's just you used to it, I guess. You kind of have no choice.
You can have a free date.
That's true. Well, we have some days off, you know, here and there or whatever, but you know, we only have like maybe 14 days off in the next 3 months or something like that. So it's pretty hectic. It's a pretty crazy schedule, but it's good. It's good.
Evidentně jim to svědčí, Jimmy si to pochvaluje, je to hektický a musíte si na to zvyknout. Mají tam pár dní volných, asi 14 dní volných v následujících 3 měsících, ale jinak jsou na pódiu pořád.
Tak to je dobře. Jinak samozřejmě jste také letos vydali novou desku, která se jmenuje A Chorus of Storytellers. Kolik písní zní, tak obvykle hrajete na koncertech nebo hrajete celou desku, po případě doplňujete dalšími tracky?
So you have a new record out and this is actually... I can see the reason you are on tour also. Can we expect that you are playing like most of the record and some stuff from previous ones,
or yeah, exactly.
Is it a mixture?
Yeah, it's most of the new, but we play for a pretty hefty amount of time too. So there's a lot of old and you know, but most almost everything off of the new record we play too. So,
but I also imagine that when I'm listening to your records, that it could work as one piece. Some bands do it like this, or some interprets do it like this, like playing the whole record as one piece.
Well,
have you ever considered this?
I mean, we do like the first 5 songs, like boom, boom, boom. You know, because it's kind of how I always hear it, and it doesn't feel right to play in different order, but. But yeah, you know, it's also the 5th record, so there's a lot of songs to try to play.
Hrají většinou, většina toho setlistu na koncertě bude z nové desky, hrají většinou skoro celou desku a pár starších věcí, ale nedělají to tak, že by odehráli úplně celý album, ale nejdřív zahrají prvních 5 písní přesně v tom pořadí, jak jsou na albu, protože tak jsou na to zvyklí.
Sleduješ vůbec reakce na nové album?
Are you searching for reactions reviews of your album? Do you read it?
I actually have on this one, and beforehand I never really did, but for this one, I guess I just was really interested, so yeah, I looked, definitely.
And what was the result? That you won't see them again? Never.
No, I mean, it's mostly all good, it's really all positive, and I mean, that's nice, it's nice to see, you know, that people are receiving it well, and that it's going well, so yeah, it's great.
Zrovna u téhle desky, u téhle 5. desky, poprvý čet skutečně vyhledával recenze, protože byl zvědavý, předtím to nedělal a má s tím dobrou zkušenost, protože většina recenzí na poslední desku The Album Leaf byly pochvalný.
Co by tedy mělo být tím hlavním tématem? Jaké by mělo být to poselství této desky?
So the themes about your new songs, maybe this one, maybe the whole album, is there anything we could search or you wanna hide it and let the listener put on his...
Yeah. They're all kind of different within each song, especially the lyrical ones. Like that song "Falling from the Sun" is kind of more like a fantasy kind of, you know, between two people kind of feeling just kind of like that you know, two people are kind of going on a journey together or something like that. And you know, different things, you know, There's a Wind is about, you know, the unknown of future, you know, just not knowing what's kind of coming or going but feeling like rushing to go towards something, but it's really no use because it's just going to happen anyway, kind of, I don't know, you know, it's all, you know, I always feel it's really funny to talk about it, but yeah, but I mean, that's what, you know, everything's got a meaning, of course, yeah.
Každá písnička má svoje téma, není to tak, že by celý album měl téma. Falling from the Sun, který jsme slyšeli, tak má téma spíš v tom duchu, že popisuje nějaký stav vztahu mezi dvěma lidmi. Je to něco takového spíš fantazijního a There is a Wind, kterou si budeme hrát později, taky z nový desky, tak má taky takovouhle nějakou atmosférickou věc, sami jste slyšeli.
To album bylo nahráváno na Islandu, kam ty tedy už jezdíš asi zhruba 10 let, jak jsem se dočetl. Překvapuje tě ještě něco na této zemi, respektive třeba na práci v této zemi?
So, you recorded the last album on Iceland.
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 Iceland. Which is kind of an island.
That's right, yeah. It is an island.
Is there something I find fascinating about Iceland?
Yeah, I mean, it's mostly, I mean, it's, I mean, I've recorded my last three records there, so, and the guy that I work with there, his name is Biggie. He's the one that gets confused with being the singer for Sigaros, which he's not, but he does work at the same studio. It is their studio, and they are friends, you know, but they're not working on the records with me. But yeah, I mean, it's really just a great place to be and to kind of be just secluded from, you know, everything. And it's really, you know, it's really pretty. It's really, you know, beautiful. It's really kind of, you know, it's just a really nice place. And it's relaxing and comfortable to work. And Biggie is an amazing guy that I work with as far as his mixing and, you know, production go. So
in a way, it's kind of an island for you to get locked in after from Matt California.
Yeah. That's a...
So I was right. Sorry. Rád Jimmy Lovell, tedy The Album Reef, už nahrál tři desky na Islandu. Je tam chlapík, který se jmenuje Biggie, který pomáhá nahrávat, který je často zaměňován v promomateriálech nebo v recenzích za zpěváka Siguro, což není pravda, ale oni se Siguro znají a je to jejich studio tam, kde on Jimmy Lovell, tedy The Album Reef, nahrávají. No a na Island jezdí rád, protože zkrátka se tam tak trošku uzavře před okolním světem a je to tam prostě příjemný, hodně uvolněný a může se tam víc koncentrovat.
Přesto, když tedy zpěvák Siguros nepracuje na vašich albech, ovlivňuje vás třeba jejich hudba při vaší tvorbě, protože přece jenom vy nemáte úplně takový ten typický kalifornský, řekněme až rozjuchaný zvuk.
No nevím, jestli jsou rozjuchaný třeba Black Hat Procession, ale uvidíme. So he's interested anyway, if you are kind of influenced or of this music from Iceland, for example, Siguros, since your music could be connected to this kind of melancholy stuff, even though there's a thing people think that Californian music should be happy, you know, with all colorful shirts, but they are Black Heart Procession.
Exactly. I mean, sure, maybe I'm influenced, you know, maybe, but I think for the most part it's just it's a country and a music scene that I respect, you know, feel kind of tied to in a way because of my, you know, friends and connections there. So I mean, yeah, I mean it's really, and yeah, I mean with California music, there's obviously a lot of different bands that are, you know, coming out of San Diego especially. That aren't, you know, the whole, you know, like Beach Boys or I don't know, something like that. But yeah, and I think, you know, it's you know, just because of where you live, you know, doesn't mean you're kind of tied to doing a certain kind of thing. And, you know, it's more about the person and the way that the person feels as opposed to where you live, you know.
Islandská hudba nebo hudba z Islandu ho ovlivňuje asi určitě, protože, jak už jsme slyšeli, jak tam už tři desky nahrával, má tam spoustu přátel a cítí se s tou zdejší tamní scénou nějakým způsobem zpřízněný, ale není to nic, že by přímo jakoby stěžil z islandský hudby. A to, co se týče San Diego, konkrétně v Kalifornii, je spousta kapel, který zkrátka nezní jako Beach Boys nebo nějak vesele, samozřejmě ta scéna je tam mnohem větší. Zmínili jsme Black Heart Procession, ve kterých mimochodem Jimmy Lovell hrál.
Určitě tedy je jasné, že islandskou hudbu nějakým způsobem znáš. Zajímáš se třeba i o jiné, řekněme, kouty Evropy? Zajímá tě evropská hudba?
Are you interested in other European countries, even though Iceland is not that much European?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, definitely. I think, you know, spending time, even here, you know, it would be great to make a record in, you know, Berlin or, you know, different stuff like that. I've been here a lot, actually, and I do really like it here, so, I mean, it could be another thing. But, yeah, I mean, really, it's really just the equipment that is that and the studio that I work at that kind of, you know, brings me there for the most part.
Pro ně je důležitější hlavně to studio, jak je vybavený, ty nástroje a zařízení, co ho nutí jakoby měnit prostředí, ale do Evropy jezdí rád a často a určitě to tady nějakým způsobem sleduje.
Teď trošku možná odbočíme od aktuální tvorby, od hudby vůbec, i když tak trošku se stále tohoto tématu dotýkat budeme, protože Jimmy Laval kdysi dávno pracoval jako producent jinglů k televizním reklamám, což tedy poté komentoval jako činnost, která zabíjela jeho kreativitu. Jimmy, ty už seš tedy v pozici, že se dokážeš živit pouze hudbou a nemusíš hledat nějaké takové, to řekněme, vedlejší příjmy.
He dig out somewhere that you used to live from doing commercial jingles, and now you can live from touring and doing music. It's enough.
Is it enough now?
For you?
Yeah.
Now you are happy, yeah. Man.
I'm fine, yeah, I'm a happy guy.
How was the experience with doing these commercials?
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. I still do, you know, some stuff every now and then, like some friends of mine that work at a place sometimes call me up and ask me to, you know, to write something for something like that, you know. But back then, I think it was just, it was a full-time job, so it was really kind of, hard to focus on my personal music, as opposed to writing, you know, for, you know, just stupid commercials or something like that, you know. So it was, and now it doesn't seem to be a problem, you know. Now it seems like if I do something, I can just kind of, it seems like it's almost harder for me to write for a commercial thing now than if I was to just write myself. So, but yeah, I mean, it is, I don't know, it was a job, you know, it was a job doing music, so it was cool, you know.
It's always hard for musicians to get to the point where they can't let go of all the, like, jobs,
yeah,
dirty jobs, so on which position you have to be? Can you, like, describe it? I can imagine, because we have lots of bands here, which are popular, I would say popular as you are, but they still can't afford to tour with 8 people and still get back from Europe and don't have to sell newspapers, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm lucky enough.
How did you get there?
Yeah, a lot of it's licensing, a lot of it's, you know, like, you know, movies or, you know, publishing checks and stuff like that. Because touring, I don't make any money. Me personally, everybody else does. They make good money. I don't.
Your band members make money, and you are the poor guy. Yeah. How come?
Because you know, the way that it's operated, you know, it's my thing. It's a solo thing. I've done the records on my own. I see the benefit from anything that has to do with, you know, sales or records or, you know, all of that. You know, it's directly to me.
I always thought, you know, that people are touring last years. Bands are touring so much because that's the way how to make money, to sell some merchandising and...
Yeah, I mean, I make some. It's definitely not enough to live off.
Because records are not selling that much. Same old story.
No, I mean, that's I'm lucky enough to be selling records and to be, you know, to be making money off of that. But records are not selling as much as they used to, no, not at all. But yeah, you know, so, I mean, it's a little uncomfortable to talk about too.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, yeah, I'm making a living, that's for sure.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Takže se uživí se svojí hudbou, tak mohl pustit reklamu dělal jingly pro kamaráda, nebo byl i plně zaměstnaný, měl jako pevný zaměstnání právě tvorbu reklamních spotů nebo hudby do reklamy, ale hodně ho to otravovalo, neměl vůbec čas na to se soustředit na své písničky, pochopitelně, a teď už je dlouho ve stádiu, kdy nemusí tohle dělat vůbec, i když občas pro jednoho svého kamaráda právě něco vyrobí. vyrobí, ale už je pro něj mnohem těžší udělat přihlouplý rádiový jingle, rádiový reklamní jingle oproti písničce. A trošku jsem se ještě vyptával na to, jak se do takového stádia dostane, protože většina kapel přeci jenom žije trošku z koncertování a stejně se vrací potom do svých zaměstnání, které s hudbou nesouvisejí. On to dosáhl tohodle jakoby zázraku nebo touhy všech muzikantů, že to nemusí dělat. I když na turné prý nevydělává skoro žádný peníze, kromě jeho kapely, která je zaplacená, ale on sám všechno zase investuje zpátky. Ty peníze spíš vydělává tím, že dává na svoji hudbu k dispozici nebo prodává ji do filmu a podobně.
Ale dá se říct, že tvoji hudbu si našel reklamní svět, protože některé skladby album Leave se objevují ve spotech například na některé auta. V Čechách občas tady bývá takový zvyk, že takové ty nezávislé hudebníky, kteří se tak nějak šmrcnou reklamou, tak jsou označováni jako, že se zaprodávají a podobně. Jak to funguje ve státech?
He's asking about some commercial with cars, which is, there's, you licensed one of your songs. Here it's sometimes in a so-called indie alternative scene, people could be kind of snobbish. So once you sold yourself to commercial, you are not alternative musicians anymore. You are just commercial. I don't know. is it different in states or in California?
I mean, I just think that the thing that people don't understand is that it's hard to make a living, and there are certain things that you can do and cannot do to you know. I mean, this is a 7-year-old topic, you know, that I'm always hearing about. So, you know, so it's
we have no problems with that, but I can imagine everyone could ask you.
I mean,
this,
definitely, yeah. I definitely get like, oh, you know, or something like that. And I had an experience, like a friend of mine in a bigger band. I'll leave him nameless, but you know, said that you know, he was offered that they were offered this thing, you know, and they said, oh, no way, we don't support that. And
we want to stay pure.
You know, and it was like, well, yeah, sure, you don't, because you played at 5,000 people in a night,
exactly.
You know, but me, I, you know, we played at 300 or something, you know, so it's the kind of thing where, you know, it's everybody's got to make a living, and with the, you know, I don't know, I could not do certain things and then would also never be able to afford a tour, you know, so then we would never be able to come play here, or, you know, it's a cycle that I think people just jump the gun on and just kind of come to their own, you know, conclusion about it before doing any kind of research about anything, you know.
Or you can do it as Tom Waits.
Yeah.
I tell, this sounds like my music, so now.
Yeah. Yeah.
You,
well,
make,
I mean,
good money then.
Yeah. I've seen, it's weird, I don't know. I feel like I've seen some things that sound suspiciously like Album Leaf, you know, but, and so, I don't know.
You need a really good lawyer. No?
Yeah, exactly.
Nemá s tím problém, u nich samozřejmě taky někdo může remcat, že když prodají tyhle kapely nebo kapely tohoto typu něco do reklamy, takže že by to nikdy neudělali. Nechce jmenovat jednoho svého známého muzikanta, který je z mnohem slavnější kapely, který mu řekl, to bych nikdy neudělal, že bych prodal naší píseň do reklamy. A on říká, to se mu to povídá, když mají každý večer 5000 lidí na koncertě a The Album Leave hrajou pro 400.
Teď se budeme trošku věnovat různým spolupracem, protože jsem si vyhledal, že ty si před lety například psal písničky pro Conora Obersta. Pokračuje ještě nějak tato spolupráce, nebo vypadá to, že by mohla pokračovat?
Asking about collaborations, he found out that you wrote some songs for Conor Oberst.
Yeah.
Are you still doing this kind of thing, like songwriting for someone else? Maybe write songs for LaRue and you'll get get richer.
No, I'm not. I haven't done anything like that in a while. And it was mostly, you know, we were supposed to do this kind of like collaboration series of records, where the first one was with Connor, and it was Album Leaf and Bright Eyes, you know. And then the second one was with his name was Mark Bianchi. He does a band called Her Space Holiday, and so. And then there was supposed to be more, and me and Paul from Blackheart already have a song that's recorded together. It's actually a secret track in a safe place at the end of that record. And, you know, we were going to do that. I was going to do one with Yonti from Sigur Rós, which actually ended up on the record. Just things like that, you know, that, so, But I mean, I'm not opposed to it definitely at all.
On which record we can find these collaborations?
In a Safe Place.
In a Safe Place.
Yeah. The song Over the Pond was a song that I'd written for Yonsi. And when I went out to record it, he, you know, not for him, but I mean for a collaboration between us. And when I went out there to record In a Safe Place, he, you know, pulled up that song and then, you know, we started working on it more. So then it ended up on the record. And the same thing with Paul, because Paul from Black Heart Procession came out with me to Iceland to record In a Safe Place. And he and I just got really, really drunk one night and wrote a song and recorded it. And it's on a, it's a secret track on In a Safe Place at the end of the record. And if you turn your stereo up really, really loud, you can hear it. So it's kind of, yeah.
Okay, so it was very drunk night that you have must to hide it properly. Takže to byla původně taková série spoluprací, právě že napsal nějaký písně s Conorem Oberstem pro něj, pak ale taky pro Jonsiho právě už ze zmíněných Sigur Rós a potom taky s Paulem Jenkinsem z Black Heart Procession, ve kterých hrál taky Jimmy Laval, ale ta písnička na desku In a Safe Place, kde jsou tyhle spolupráce zaznamenaný, je skovaná, je jako hidden track, když necháte to CDčko běžet, tak ho uslyšíte, ale musíte ještě dát hodně na hlas hlasitost, protože je stišená.
Takže hodně hidden.
Je hidden.
Jsou třeba, nebo je některý hudebník, s kterým bys chtěl spolupracovat?
And, is there anyone you'd like to write with or collaborate with or some hero you still have?
I haven't really thought about it lately. I always wanted Jay-Z to rap over my song Red Eye. I thought that would be awesome, but somebody
is
actually
true
did.
Or tongue in cheek?
No, it'd be. I think it would be rad. I think it's true. Yeah, I mean, somebody did do on YouTube. Somebody did a mashup between Jay-Z and Album Leaf. So it's kind of funny actually to see it.
Have you heard the Black Rock album? I think the Black Keys with lots of rappers.
No,
it's like blues with it.
Oh, really? Yeah, that sounds. Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that would be cool to do.
But isn't your music like too not tender, but let's say emotional for these rappers talking about, you know? Bitches.
Bitches and hoes.
I haven't heard the second one.
No, I haven't said the first one. A lot of the stuff is not, you know, so I guess rapper friendly, but some stuff is, and I mean Red Eye, I think especially is just with the beats or something, I don't know, would be cool to have them use. I don't know. Just if somebody sampled it, it'd be cool, you know. I don't know.
Moc o tom nepřemýšlí, ale už ho napadlo, že by do jeho písně Red Eye mohl rapovat Jay-Z a skutečně z to přeje. Dokonce se na YouTube objevil nějaký mashup, kdy to někdo spojil. No, takže se mu líbí tahle představa a vůbec si nemyslí, že ačkoliv jsou písničky The Album Leaf relativně křehký a zasněný a do toho nějaký přísný rap by neseděl, tak on si myslí, že spousta z nich by obstála.
My jsme to už zmínili, že Jimmy Laval rozhodně není malým jménem na hudební scéně. Jsou tedy třeba už někteří hudebníci, který si musel odmítnout, že si třeba s tebou oni chtěli spolupracovat a ty si zrovna neměl náladu a které hvězdy si tady poslal někam pryč.
He's asking if you declined some offers to collaborate with, if you said no to someone. To us.
I don't know. I'm sure that there's been stuff that has been thrown my way that I haven't been able to do because of scheduling. I can't remember specifically someone writing in that I was just like, oh yeah, right, I'm never, you know, something like that. But I'm sure that there's been things that have happened that I just haven't had time to be able to do. Yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry, but I can't recall any actual names.
Na nic takového si nespomíná. Asi bylo dobré se zeptat, jak vypadá teda koncertní podoba The Album Leaf.
To jsem se chtěl hnedka zeptat, protože jedna další ze spoluprací tak je se jménem Andrew Pates, který vám tedy dělá vizualizace na koncertě. Jak tedy bude vypadat dnešní koncert v Matrixu?
So you work with Andrew Pates, mm-hmm. And is he with you here?
Is he here?
Or how looks your live shows? What we can expect?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we have our own kind of unique lighting setup, things that are, you know, programmed with us. We have visuals to every song that are in sync you know, with the show, and it's something that, you know, I work really, really hard on, to get, you know, a really good show going, and something that's, you know, a little interesting to see, and, can hopefully, you know, come into any kind of room, you know, that, you know, might not be the best place or something like that, and we can kind of come in and take it over and make it an experience, and hopefully, you know, make you forget that you're in this, you know,
cold
club, or something, you know. So yeah, definitely.
Mají spolu projektory, mají světelnou show jakoby na míru hudby The Album Leaf a všechno nějakým způsobem koresponduje s hudbou, s těmi písněmi, takže dokonce říká trochu pyšně, že jejich velkou snahou je, že když přijedou do klubu, který nějakým způsobem neútulný nebo není nějak moc přívětivý to místo, tak by měli dokázat z něj udělat hodně příjemnou show a místo, kde zapomenete, kde to vlastně jste. Což by, myslím, v Matrixu vůbec nebylo od věci.
To určitě, na to jsem chtěl zeptat, protože ty jsi sem přijel z Matrixu, kde jsme tě vyzvedli. Jak jsi tady spokojen s tím prostorem, kde dnes vystoupíte?
You've been to Matrix today.
Yes, I have.
And so you'll have to work hard to turn this place into your place.
Yeah, I don't know. They're doing it now, so, you know.
Teď neví, teď se na tom pracuje.
I walked through it for about a minute. I went to the bathroom and I came back out and I saw everything in between and I was like, okay.
Možná víc informací, než potřebujeme. Byl tam jenom minutu, protože si šel odskočit a pak šel se zpátky.
Výborně. Takže dnes se dozvíme, jak to vše bude vypadat v klubu Matrix. Připomínám, že koncert Album Leaf začíná kolem 8 hodiny večer. Hostem dnešní opening session byl tedy Jimmy Laval, ústřední postava této formace. Takže já moc krát děkuju za rozhovor a zas někdy na viděnou. Doufám, že dnes na koncertě, a také děkuji Tomáši Turkovi, který přeložil celý dnešní rozhovor.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.